Hi. Nice to see you. Well, we can't really see you. You can see us. But isn't this an unusual time that we're living in? But so glad we have this kind of technology. I grew up in Surrey, and as a young teenager, my brother and friends of ours from the neighborhood would do some crazy things, especially in the summer. Much to our parents' chagrin, we'd tape numbers with tape or letters or forms on our chests or on our back, and we'd go up on the roof. We weren't really supposed to be up there, but there we were trying to get a sunburn or at least a suntan. And then we'd come back down and we'd pull off the things and laugh at each other because we had these forms kind of emblazoned on our bodies. Not a really wise thing to do, but there are a number of cultures that really make much of having a tan. It shows you have the money or you have the time to be in the sun, and some people, some cultures don't like that, but it is something that we do, and there are even tanning parlors. We lived in Germany many years. Tanning, being tanned, is a big thing, and shows that you've been at Mallorca or some Mediterranean island somewhere, and it's something to kind of show off. So when people have a tan, or when I did those crazy things, you know we're in the sun. When people see you, when people see me, they notice that I'm living in the light of God's Word. Do people notice I've been spending time with this glorious Jesus?
So we want to talk about the idea of living in the light, and we want to use these three chairs to illustrate it. Might seem a little strange, but you'll see as we go along. We learned this, we can't take credit for it, it's not original with us. We learned this from a Norwegian evangelist, and he explains it much better, but we'll do our own version. So we want to talk about these three chairs. Every person in the world could sit on one of these, is sitting on one of these three chairs. This one represents people who are saved, and by that I mean they have their sins forgiven through Jesus' death. They trust in him for eternal life. So these first two chairs actually are people who are saved. And the third chair, we would maybe use the term lost. I'll explain that a bit more as we go along. Colossians 1 explains this process of becoming saved. He says, joyfully give thanks to the Father who's qualified you to share in the inheritance of his holy people in the kingdom of light. So he's talking about the kingdom of light. These two chairs would be in there. For he's rescued us from the dominion of darkness. He's talking about a different dominion, a different rulership, dominion of darkness, and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. So we could describe the three chairs this way. One and two are in the kingdom of light. Number three is in the kingdom of darkness. Now, Paul goes on in Ephesians 5 to describe that even more clearly. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. So not only were we in the kingdom of darkness, he says we were darkness. And now not only are we in the kingdom of light, we are light. We've received a new identity in Jesus. But notice that Paul also in the same passage gives some instructions. He says, live as children of light. For the fruit of life, the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. In other words, it's possible to be in the kingdom of light, to be light, but still choose to dabble in the darkness. That's why Paul warns against that. He says, if you're in the light, so live as children of the light. So we might describe it like this. Chair number one is in the light. We're talking about someone who's really fully committed to Jesus, living in the light. I'll describe that a bit more. Living in the shadow, so they are in the kingdom of light, but there's maybe a bit of shadow, and living in the darkness. So number one, chair number one represents people who live fully in the light. They're filled with the Holy Spirit. They live focused on Jesus. They're surrendered to the rule of Jesus as the king of their lives. The fruit of the Spirit is on display in their lives, or as Paul calls it, speaks of it there, the fruit of the light, all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And they find out what pleases the Lord. They're living to please the Lord. Now, the people in number two sometimes live in partial darkness or shadows. This might be because of a secret sin that they're unwilling to repent of. It might be because of unforgiveness or bitterness. They might be offended and they're holding on to that. And we might say they're living a soulish life or a flesh living in the flesh. They're ruled by their emotions, by their own ambition. They're self-focused. They're living as king of their own lives with Jesus as sort of as their helper in their little kingdom. And number three, again, live in the darkness. Paul says, without the light of life. They're self-focused. They may be trying to be their own God, or they may be trying hard to be good enough to earn God or the God's favor or approval. Let's just look at these two chairs again for a minute. How do I recognize, because I think from the description, I'm hoping that you would much rather live in this chair than in this chair. This is really what God has for us. This is really what we're destined to live in. So how do I know if I'm sometimes living in chair number two? I don't feel completely free in God's presence. There's some sort of cloud, some doubt, some shame or guilt. It's this idea of kind of like in hockey, oh, I did something bad, I'm on the penalty bench. Sometimes we feel like that with God. I haven't been doing very well. I haven't been reading my Bible enough, or I've done this or that. I have to be on the penalty bench. We feel kind of removed from God. If I'm sitting here, I'm not sure of his love for me. And so I feel I need to do more or to be better in order for him to accept me. And if I sit here, I'm living from his acceptance. I'm not trying to earn his acceptance. I'm living from it because I know I am in Jesus. I'm in the Beloved. I might notice that I'm more grumpy, chair number two, than gracious, chair number one. More annoying than anointed. I might feel that I'm performing out of a sense of duty and pressure. And here I'm resting in the Father's delight and pleasure in me. In chair number two, I live like an orphan. In chair number one, I live like the dearly loved child of God that I truly am. And to be honest, we all sit in chair number two once in a while, but we should not be there habitually. It should not be our default. It's not our destiny. It's not our identity. We've been given a new nature which loves to be in the light.
And what's at stake here is the eternal destiny of people in chair number three. Whether they're the worst criminal you can think of or your nice next-door neighbor who doesn't know Jesus, these people could be atheists or they could belong to some other world religion. These people need to see the light of the world. They need to see Jesus, and they need to see Jesus in us. Mm. Now the problem, as Ruth has been pointing out, the difference between chair number one and two for us as believers is that we spend a lot of our time. I know I do sometimes. You can ask Ruth when I'm in chair number two. She knows when I'm there. But we tend to drift over to this chair sometimes. But our calling is to chair number one. And according to George Barna, the guy who does surveys, mostly North America, he says that 92%, I'm not sure when this was taken, back in the 2000s somewhere, but 92% of Christians are not recognizably different in their lifestyle from their neighbors who aren't believers. They're living in chair number two. They might believe differently than those in chair number three, but they behave similarly. People don't see that I've been with Jesus. I look a lot like them. So the thing is, number three people are only going to be reached by chair number one Christians, people living in the Spirit, walking close to Jesus, who have power, who have anointing. We're not going to reach it if we stay in chair number two and just focus on ourselves and live for ourselves. We're only going to reach these people to touch this world that needs God so much by living in that chair, number one. How can we reach people there if we live so much there? It can't just be duty. Oh, my pastor, my friend, I know I should do this, and oh, okay, I'll tell you about, but they don't see the love of Christ in you, that's not going to work. If they don't see any light, no love, nor power in you, that's not going to work. So our concern today, and what we've been learning, is to learn how to live in chair number one and how to move from chair number two to chair number one. And this is the greatest desire of our hearts, to be able to live in chair number one. How do we get there? First thing we need to do is repent, acknowledge we've been living here instead of over here. And to turn away from any form of darkness, any shadows, and lay down our kingdom, because this is what happens, we live in our own kingdom here, for our Lord's kingdom, to let him be the king of our lives. And you know, it's so wonderful. It's not a naughty, you shouldn't be in chair number two. No, it's you belong in chair number one. It's God's kindness. Paul says in Romans chapter 2, verse 4, it's the kindness of God that leads us to repentance. He wants our fellowship. He wants us in chair number one, using this illustration. Just repent of that. Agree with God. I belong there. I belong in his light. Agree with him that he is the king. I was meant to live in the Spirit, to live in the light, to be a son, a daughter of light, to be a child of light, to live in brilliant fellowship with Jesus. It says in Romans chapter 3, verse 23, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory that God intended for us. He's restoring us back to glory when he sent Jesus, that we could live in his presence, in his glorious presence. So we fall short of that if we're not even a believer, but sometimes we don't even realize it as believers, and we live in the darkness or in the shadows. He wants us to share in his divine nature. It says in 2 Peter verse 1, or chapter 1, he wants us to see his glorious face, 2 Corinthians 3. He wants us to know his love for us and for others, to be filled with passion for the world and to make a difference in these people's lives. So with us, would you hear his words of invitation to you today, to get up, so to say, from chair number two and go to him in chair number one, to hear his words of forgiveness for hiding, for living in the shadows, hear his words of love. You are my beloved son. You are my beloved daughter. Surrender to him as king and let his light shine upon you.
And once you're there, how do you stay there? I think really the greatest command, as Jesus said, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and your neighbor as yourself. That's the way to stay here, to stay focused on him. Be quick to confess your sin and to repent. Be quick if you notice, oh, I'm sitting on chair number two. Shoot, I'll stand up and come over here. I'll repent quickly and quickly forgive other people. Make sure there's no shadow between you and Jesus. And then just learn to love being in the light. Believe who you are. Believe who God says you are. And believe that you can just rest in his love for you. Ephesians 5:18, when it talks about being filled with the Spirit, the verb is continuous. Continue to be filled. Just ask him every day. Maybe you need to ask many times a day, fill me with your Holy Spirit. Display the fruit of the Spirit in my life. Display the gifts of the Spirit. And as Ralph mentioned, keep your face, it's like basking in the sun. Keep your face turned toward him. We ask him to bless us and make his face shine upon us. And we can just keep our face turned to him. And 2 Corinthians 3:18 talks about with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, we are transformed from one degree of glory to another. We have a degree of glory that he's given us, and he's just taking us to new levels. As we look at him, we'll reflect his heart and his face to the rest of the world. And continually being transformed, Romans 12, by the renewing of our mind, continue to read the word and to be in fellowship with believers and to be hearing the truth and renewing the way you think so that you'll really know who you are. And once you know who you are, you'll be able to live in that identity, live to please him.
Amen. So with me and with Ruth, do you hear the call of God? Do you hear his voice, knowing he's there, he's in that kind of a realm, the voice of the Father? Do you know, or are you sensing him? Oh yes, God, I want to be in your light. I want to live in your light. Do you realize also his love for your neighbors? Mm-hmm. It's not all about us. We do want the Father to bless us, for his face to shine mm-hmm. upon us. But Psalm 67 says, so that the world might see your salvation. They might see what it means to live in his kingdom. Not in your own kingdom, saved, going to heaven, but live in his kingdom, totally transformed by his presence. And this is the goal. We don't want to just be blessed. We want to be a blessing. We want to touch other people with the love of Christ. Do you hear his voice? Do you realize his love for you and your neighbor, for the nations? The Lord is bringing the nations to us. Are you wanting to live more in chair number one than chair number two? And as Ruth said, how can I move from chair two to chair one? Then hear what the Holy Spirit is saying. I'm reading from Isaiah chapter 60. Arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you. See, darkness covers the earth, and thick darkness is over the peoples. But the Lord rises upon you, and his glory appears over you. Nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. Mm-hmm. This is the voice of the Lord. Arise and shine. Now, you might be in a church building, you might be at home with yourself, by yourself, with maybe one or two others, or you're in a small group and listening, watching this video. And I'm going to encourage you, whether you do that now or by yourself or with a friend, get three chairs, or at least two, put some numbers on them, and spend some time praying over these chairs. Oh God, keep me from living. I want to move into chair number one. If there's anywhere that you need to repent of darkness, of shadows, of hiding, of shame, and be filled with the Spirit. And so pray towards this. And then pray for your friends and for the neighbors and for the nations who live in this chair, in this darkness, that the light of Jesus that has shone upon us would shine in our hearts, so that the world might glorify Jesus, that they might come to know him who is the light of the world.